Holly the other day and said I had a very, very important sermon for her this Sunday morning. I'm sorry she couldn't be here. I told her the title and she just chuckled, Biblical Guidelines for Dating. She didn't need that one. But in a way, we all need it. Not only for the young folks, and there's a lot of information here for them, but also for us as parents. We need to think about these things. And it's important for us also. Dating is an important part of life. It is preparation for marriage. And we're using this morning a picture of Heath and Renee. And I emailed Heath last week. He's in Norway for the second time this summer. And hopefully he and Renee will be married pretty soon. And hopefully in the spring they'll be down here and he'll be able to preach for us. We're living in a society where schools are handing out birth control to students at 14 years of age without parental consent, when many doctors want to give abortions to minors without parental consent, when the average teenager drinks at age 14, I heard this morning on Fox News, and there are movies, TV shows, and music, which we cannot avoid, filled with fornication and sexual activities. It is important for us to understand the biblical principles regarding dating. The first one I want to talk about is very obvious. We must obey God and our parents. Turn your Bibles with me over to Mark chapter 12. These passages aren't new to you, but I want to use just a few as we go through the lesson this morning to bring out these basic principles. In Mark chapter 12 and verse 30, Jesus was questioned, "What is the greatest and foremost commandment?" And he said, "The foremost is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.'" In other words, put God first in your life, including your dating relationships. We must love God more than a boyfriend or a girlfriend. We must be willing to step away from a relationship if necessary to put God first in our life, including walk away from a boyfriend or girlfriend if necessary. Only date people who are morally committed to God, and some may choose only to date Christians. Especially when older, some issues must be dealt with immediately, such as premarital sex and divorce. Turn your Bibles also with me to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. And we need to be reminded of the fact that even in a dating relationship, we as young people must obey our parents. Young folks, in verse 20, God says, "Children, be obedient to your parents." And I want you to notice what it says after that. "In all things." That means in dating, obey your parents. And it says after that, "For this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Young folks, I want you to understand that if you're dating a person that your parents said, "Do not date," you are not pleasing to the Lord. Think about that. Know what your parents' rules are regarding dating and obey them. But parents, I want to talk to us for just a moment. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Because unfortunately, too many times, young people in the world have no parental instruction in which to obey. It is our job to set the rules. And we must be sure that we do that. "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, or the training and discipline of the Lord, training and admonition of the Lord. Parents, it is our job to set and enforce rules. That is our job. My idea and my philosophy, which I've made very public, is this. I am in control until the day my daughter says I do. I'm in control. If we as parents do not set the rules, our children are going to just go the way of society. And if we do set the rules, we are going to take pressure off of them because someone else has set the guidelines, and they can say, my parents do not allow whatever it is. Some examples of setting rules, as probably everyone knows here, the boy must ask me before dating one of my daughters. That's the rule. I say yes, and I say no. And if I say no, there is no dating. And if I say yes, then I set the rules with both of them, and those rules are followed. By making the boy ask me, it allows me to talk with both of them and to set the rules of the relationship. What I expect and what God expects. Rules include close personal conduct, contact including sex, kissing and making out. I have a 3-second rule for the older ones and I have a 1/2-second rule for the others. Hugging, the way it's done, places they go, taking chaperones. If I had a boy, those rules would not change. The boy would have to ask me if he could date such and such girl. And then their first date would be to my house so that I could talk to both of them. If I had a dependent child living away from home, which I may, sometime in the future, the rules aren't going to change. The rules aren't going to change. Although we may need to talk on the phone more, those rules will not change. So those are just some ideas about the rules. Parents, you need to set up your own rules and the things that you think are best, but we must set the rules and enforce the rules. Now, to the young folks, I want to talk about some other things. Predetermine what you want in a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Turn your Bibles with me over to Joshua chapter 24. And Tom, I appreciate the song that you led before the lesson this morning because it fits very well to what I want to talk about right now. Life is full of choices, and we must predetermine what type of individual we desire as a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And here you remember Joshua called for the children of Israel to decide which God they were going to serve. And at the end of verse 15, he says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And young folks, you need to make decisions. What kind of boyfriend, what kind of girlfriend do I want? What is that relationship in general going to be about? And what are the rules in that relationship going to be? And if there's someone that does not fit into that, then please do not consider dating them. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I want to remind you of this, and I want you to see it with your own eyes, so please turn your Bibles there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. This scripture applies to boyfriends and girlfriends more than any other friendship relationship. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, do not be deceived. Bad company, or evil companions, corrupt good morals. Young folks, please understand that just as Solomon's wives turned his heart against God in his old age, after he had served God for so long, being so wise, having done so many great things, after God himself spoke to him twice regarding that matter, the women turned his heart away from God. Boyfriends and girlfriends can corrupt your morals and turn you away from God, and don't be deceived at all. The devil wants you to be deceived. The devil wants you to be deceived into thinking that you can date whoever you want, and it doesn't matter what their morals are, and it doesn't matter who they like to hang out with, that that is perfectly fine, and you are strong enough to overcome that, and the truth is, you are not. Decide in advance what type of person you want to date. They can have a positive or a negative influence upon you. This person may possibly be your spouse one day. Once you fall in love, it's hard to fall out of love. And you may decide only to date Christians because you want to date a Christian spouse. I think Paul Thomas, I emailed him earlier last week, and he had two good suggestions with this. He said for himself, he made a list about the qualities he was looking for in a girlfriend, and I think that is a good idea. Think about it and make a list. What are you looking for? And second of all, his suggestion was to pray about it. And I wonder if our young folks here of a dating age have done that. I didn't think about praying about a boyfriend or girlfriend until I was around 24, 25 years old. Then I was praying for a wife, but I didn't have a girlfriend at the time. So really I was praying for both. But I think that's a good idea. Think about the qualities. Just not be overcome with infatuation. Think about the qualities. It's a good thing to write them down and then pray about them, trusting in God. Also, let me suggest to you to make your relationship a spiritual one, and by that I mean include God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a verse we talk about from time to time, but please turn your Bibles over there. I want you to see it once again. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and this applies to every relationship in life, every single human relationship. It applies to marriage, it applies to dating, it applies to the friends that you have at home, it applies to your co-workers, it applies to every human relationship. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness? In other words, young folks, listen to me. You will not have the same dating relationship with an unbeliever that you have with a believer. It's going to be different. It has to be different. Because you cannot have the same things in common with one who is not a Christian that you can have in common with one who is a Christian. In every relationship we have in life. Verse 16, for what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said. And so we are the temple of God as Christians, as members of the church, of Christ's body. And so our relationship isn't going to be the same with everyone else out in the world. So think about having a relationship with a Christian. If not a Christian, a good, moral, wholesome person. And verse 17, therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord. In other words, there are some things if you're dating one who's not a Christian, although they may be very moral and a very good person, there are some things that you cannot have in common with them. And there is going to be some separation between the two. Here are some suggestions. for a spiritual dating relationship. Go to church together and worship together. If you do that, the individual may find out that they do not like going to church with you. They do not like worshiping with you. They do not like having a spiritual relationship with you. And that should mean that the whole thing is off, because that's the most important thing in life. Go to church together and worship together. Second of all, study the Bible together. Let part of your dating relationship be studying the Bible together. Now, you may not do that if you're really young. Dawn has got her first boyfriend at age 14. But that, even at that age, would be a good thing to do. I'm going to tell you something. If you want the relationship to improve, study the Bible together. If things aren't going so well, oftentimes couples look back and say, you know what? We're not studying the Bible together. We used to study the Bible together. Things went better when we studied the Bible together. Why is that? Because the focus of the relationship is spiritual and not physical. So things are going to go better. Study the Bible together. Have your own Bible study together, and there are many benefits. You get to know the spirit of the individual with Bible study. As you progress, if you think about marriage, it allows for the ladies to see whether or not this is someone they would like to be married to subject themselves to, and find out what their moral fiber and spirituality is all about. And for the young men, it allows you to discover, is this a godly woman with whom I want to be joined together for life? Very important. Especially before marriage, please study the Bible. Discuss, let me catch up with myself here on my PowerPoint. Discuss the relationship. I have this quote from a college male student, just to let you know where he's coming from, also a counselor at Florida College Camp. It's good to talk to the girl and make sure we're both on the same page. Find out what she feels is appropriate and find out what is not expected. Sometimes a misunderstanding can cause some serious issues down the line and may end what would have otherwise been a decent relationship. Talk about it. Find out what both want in the relationship and what both expect. Be consistent in the relationship. Be 100% spiritual 100% of the time. The same college student says this: if one has the focus on God and the other is just trying to hook up, there's a real incongruence issue. If the godly one slips up here and there, the other just gets confused and assumes that the slip up is normal and accepted, when really it's not. If things are discussed ahead of time, then there is less a chance of that happening. In other words, talk about it and be consistent 100% of the time in your dating relationship. Discuss moral standards and moral issues and set boundaries. If you're not old enough to do this, you're not old enough to date. In a worldly sense, girls, you have the power and the control and exercise it. You set the standards of moral decorum, and you better set it. That means, boys, that doesn't mean you don't have any, but just in a worldly sense, girls have control. In the worldly sense, the boys are going to do whatever the girls let them do. If you date a Christian, you don't have that problem. Girls set the standard and take control setting moral issues. Same college student: if you don't start going down the wrong path, you won't ever get down the road far enough to do something wrong. Set the standard. Never get started down the wrong path. So shine a light on the path the two of you want to take together. Let things be known. If they respect you, they'll respect your boundaries. I thought that was a great point. Don't forget that. And if they don't respect your boundaries, it means they don't respect you. Get out of the relationship right away. No questions asked. And if they don't, well, this is what he says. Get out quick. Good advice. As long as two people are walking down the same road, getting to know one another in a godly way, then dating can be a great thing. But turn that around. If they're not going down the same road together, if they're not in a godly relationship, then dating is a bad thing. We need to understand that. Some issues to make clear when thinking about beginning a dating relationship. Talk about dancing. We'll talk about that a little bit more. Cover that issue right off the top. That I don't go to the prom, that I don't go to homecoming. And if that's an issue for you that can't be overcome, then we can't date. Sexual activity, making out, improper conduct in public and in private. And these issues may turn off some people. If it does, fine. You need to know it right up front. If you're not old enough to talk about it, please don't date. Flee lusts. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Please turn your Bibles there. I know that you know the scripture, but I want you to see it with your eyes. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness. The word flee means to run away for safety. Anytime you are in a situation in which lusts are stirred up, get out of that situation immediately. Leave, call home, go somewhere else. Do not stay in that situation. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just back a little bit. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Help with these things, not only by conducting yourself properly, but always wearing proper attire. This is a fact of life. Girls like for boys to look at them, and boys like to look at girls. That is a fact. Do not make it any more difficult in relationship to lust and to sin than it already is. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Likewise, underscore that word likewise. I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly garments, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for women, making a claim to godliness. Wear attire. Yes, it can be flattering. Yes, it can look good. Yes, it can be modern and stylish, but that is modest. When we dress, men and women, in a godly way, it draws attention to our spirits and not just to the physical. Vulgar. That's lewd. Dress makes the physical seem sinful. Dress like you want to be known and appreciated. If you don't want to be known as being a loose, wild woman who's with hundreds of men, don't dress that way. Dress like a godly woman. Dress like a godly man. Let the inward spirit come out. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And again, a passage you know very well, but I want you to see it with your eyes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22. Abstain from every form of evil. In other words, young folks, do not get close, not even remotely close, to anything that even looks like it may be sinful. Never put yourself in a position remotely compromising. If you find yourself there, accidentally flee, run away, call for help, get out of there, and do not stay. Illustrations. If you are in a place all alone with your boyfriend or girlfriend and no one else is around, get out of there. If you find yourself in a reclining position that may even remotely resemble laying down, sit up, and you probably need to go somewhere else. If you're in a situation where others are engaged in improper conduct of any type, leave. If you're watching a sexual movie or TV show or listening to sexual music, stop it. Here are some suggestions. Take Jesus with you everywhere you go. Now, we all know that Jesus is with you. But sometimes we like to forget that Jesus is with us. So take Jesus with you on every date and let him be your chaperone. We have a rule, at least for the younger ones, you have to have a chaperone. So let Jesus be your chaperone. When you go on your date, expect the end of time and Jesus to return before your date is over. In other words, you never want to be in any compromising situation. Don't watch any movies or TV shows or listen to any music with any sexual innuendo. I know that probably eliminates most movies and TV shows and most music today. But you don't need those things to be stimulated, evil desire stimulated. Listen to this. An average person sees 9,000 actual or implied sex acts on TV each year. 9,000 every year. It's hard to get away from. If necessary, don't watch TV on dates. A study recently, Pediatrics 2004, watching sex on TV predicts adolescent imitation of sexual behavior. In other words, the more sexual activity watched on TV by adolescents, the more prone they are to engage in premarital sex. Do not watch these things ever, but especially on a date. Don't be home alone. Do things in groups. Don't go to secluded places. Don't go places where there's sinful activity occurring. And lastly, don't dance. I want to read you a few quotes about dancing. We've covered these in the high school class when I taught that. Dr. Rita Hollingsworth, listen to this. Dancing is an exciting and pleasurable recreation as it affords a partial satisfaction of the sex impulse. Dancing, in fact, is such an erotic stimuli that it even works for boys and girls as young as age 11. That's the facts. Don't ignore it. Don't be deceived into thinking something else. That's the fact. Don't believe Dr. Rita, believe Mick Jagger of the Rolling Stones, 1979. All dancing is a replacement for sex. Or if you don't want to believe him, how about believe the Little River Band? The lyric said, "Ladies, lady, you're there on the dance floor making me want you somehow." Or how about Ann Landers? 1987. What we're talking about is nothing new. It's been around probably since about the creation. She was written, a lady wrote her in and said, talking about her husband, "I trust him, but I don't think God meant for a man and woman to rub their bodies together in slow dancing with anyone except their own spouse. Am I normal to feel jealous?" So don't dance. The fact of the matter is, dancing stirs up these sinful desires, and to do that is a sin, so don't dance. Next to last point is avoid every form of fornication. I want to tell you the truth of this, and I'm going to be delicate about it. Turn your Bibles with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I hope parents and children talk about this very fact. It needs to be made very plain and more plainer than I can make it standing up here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and beginning in verse 18, flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. We're talking about fornication here within the context just a little bit earlier. I want to define fornication for a second. Denotes illicit sexual intercourse vines. And this includes adultery, homosexuality, and bestiality. Intercourse, what is that? Physical sexual contact between individuals that involves the genitalia of at least one person, Webster's Dictionary. Let me be very plain about this. When I was growing up, the preachers called it petting. I didn't know what that was. I'll use the modern day vernacular, second base. And if you need to know what that is, go to urbandictionary.com. Second base is fornication. Some dancing, some slow dancing, and what's now today called freaking, I believe, by definition, is fornication. Do not engage in any fornication at all, period, which is the touching inappropriately in any manner, period, any manner, period. Do not be deceived and know the truth. Most teens do not want to have premarital sex. Now, I know in the media that this is distorted. I know that it's cool at school for people to talk like they do, but understand the fact is, deep down, they really don't. Time magazine. Study of sexually active college students. Found that 46.3% of the women and 62.7% of the men reported having had unwanted intercourse. They didn't want to do it, but felt pressured for some reason and gave in. Know the truth about it and do not give in. Communicate your moral position. Agree upon a code of conduct. If you're not old enough to do this, do not date. Lastly, I have to put this one in. Have fun. Because dating is to be fun. Set the rules, set the guidelines, be consistent, live by those things, and enjoy yourself. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good thing, including dating, given in every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights. Dating is a good thing. Dating is a fun thing when done properly. When you are in a godly relationship, you can have fun and not worry about sinful and ungodly pressures. It wasn't too long ago I heard two girls discussing this. One girl remarked to the other one, "Isn't it nice to date a Christian? You don't have to worry about having sex. There is no pressure. You can enjoy your boyfriend." Young men, I want to make this special note to you. There are a lot of girls in the world, especially those who are Christians, who want to date someone and have no pressure of any sexual activity. They want that. And if you are one of those individuals, you are very attractive to them because that's what they want. So do not think that you are devalued in some worldly sense because your commitment is not to engage in any type of immoral activity. The fact is, you are of greater value to these young women looking for that relationship. And understand that. Understand it. Put God first, and you will have a fun time with a good person. As we read already in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Put Him first. Choose a good godly person. And enjoy yourself. It's part of life. Think about these things. Make up your mind. And do the right thing. Thanks for your good attention and consideration this morning. Let's sing number 276, There's Power in the Blood. If you're not a Christian today, you can become one. You can have a godly relationship with a godly person because you yourself are godly. What does Jesus ask us to do? Simply believe in Him. Repent of our sins, that's just to have a change in our mind resulting in outward change. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of our sins. You can leave here today a godly person. If we can help you at all, won't you step to the front now as we stand and as we sing.